Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Zepke, and I'm ready as always to talk travel. Today's show is about Key West. And everyone has a different idea as to what makes Key West special. And I'm not going to join in that debate. Instead, I'm just going to share with you my top 10 travel tips and let you decide for yourself after you've gone to Key West and experienced all these things what you think makes it so special. So number one on my list here, which is a very important issue, is lodging. Lodging is pretty pricey in Key West, especially if you're going to be staying in a hotel or resort. If money's no object, there's a lot of great places. Probably one of the oldest is the Southernmost House. It's an historic inn dating back to 1896. It's hosted half a dozen presidents. It once served as a Cuban nightclub, and it's in the heart of Key West, as most of these lodgings are, and that's part of what you're paying for because you are in the heart of Key West. So if you're on a tight budget, your best bet is rental properties. And you can look through the standard things like Booking.com and Airbnb.com. You can also go on to QeyWest.com, and there are some local agencies that can hook you up. What a lot of the islanders have done is built little cottages and little houses and all behind their houses on their property, and they rent those out year-round. So those are some great ways to find some bargains. So anyway, also probably the cheapest thing you can do is go camping. So if you have an RV or you like to camp, that's the cheapest thing that you're going to be able to do. And there's no camping on Key West, but there is a really good campground on the adjacent Stock Island. And camping is also permitted in the Dry Tortugas National Park. And you can get information on that at drytortugasinfo.com. And I'll try to post all these links on my site when I post this show, so you can check for that if you miss anything. But number two on my list, because I got to race through, because you know I like to keep my podcast short for your convenience. So my next tip is about parking. It is very problematic in Key West because it is so limited. And also, tourists cannot park on any of the side streets. Only locals with permits can park on side streets. And believe me, you will be towed if you try it. There are some parking lots, not nearly enough, and they can be expensive, as you can imagine, like $10, $20 an hour. Street parking is nearly impossible to find, especially if you don't want to walk for several blocks or more, you know. So it is best, my advice to you, to stay in a rental or a hotel, whatever your property is, that offers parking, and just don't move your car. There are taxis available. You can also rent bikes and scooters. And there's a free public transportation system, and you can go to keytransit.com, and that's keytransit.com. So those are some good options for you there. By the way, just a little fun fact for you, 15% of island residents use bicycles to get around. So be aware, if you rent a bicycle, the laws for bicycles are the same as cars. And I think that's true for the scooters too. So anything that you rent, you're going to follow the same laws as the vehicles do. Okay, number three, Key West, and you can probably imagine this already, has lots of weird and wonderful tours. And I'm going to name just a few of them here just to give you an idea. This one's called the Plunder Key West. And it's a pretty cool one here. It's a foodie and history tour kind of combined. And participants sample local cuisine all around the island. And they also learn about local legends and lore and ghosts and pirates of old Key West. So you're getting a really good, fun fill of history and food. So, you know, for me, that's like the best of both worlds. You know, I'm getting fed and I'm getting told all the, you know, folklore and history, so that's great. But if that's not your thing, there's a seafood lover's tour, and it includes stops at six great restaurants. Well, I shouldn't say restaurants, they're eateries. We'll just leave it at that, to enjoy lots of Key West cuisine. Or you can be a rum runner and take a tour of Key West's only rum distillery. And, of course, you get to sample the goods. I was trying to think what else to say. Oh, you can learn all about Cuban cigars during the Rodriguez Cigar Rolling Tour if you're looking for something different. And, of course, Cuban cigars have a big history down there. I don't have time to get into all that, but this area was the number one place where the cigars were made for many years until they ended up back in Cuba. But anyway, there's also a Key West scavenger hunt, and this is a combination pub crawl and scavenger hunt, and it's a lot of fun, and you get to see some different parts of Key West and, you know, a bit off the beaten path, and there's some cool prizes, too. So I'm also fond of the Conch Train Tour, because there's two main tours around the island there for the trolley tour and the conch train tour. And they're very comparable, I will say that. I just happen to prefer the conch train tour. But you will get so much information, so much fun factoids and so much history, and just, I mean, it's almost like too much information. But that's a great thing. And also they have an after-hours ghost hunt in the Ripley's Auditorium, which is, you know, a weird and wonderful thing. So those are just a few of the many things that they offer in Key West, just to let you know. Number four, I thought I would share with you what I think the best Key West adventure is. And I'm just going to say this to you right up front. It's only for the truly adventurous. Seriously, this is a full day of daring fun that includes a dozen water sports. So you begin the day aboard a yacht, and you ease into an absolutely action-packed day of snorkeling, windsurfing, sunfish sailing, jet skiing, parasailing, a banana boat ride, and more. So, I mean, this, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you got to be, you're hitting the ground running and you're hitting it hard. But that's KeyWestDoItAll.com if you want to learn more about that. And another interesting factoid, because if you know anything about me, you know I love to share my trivia, my fun facts. There are more than 2,500 historic buildings on Key West. So needless to say, history buffs will be in hog heaven. Okay, number five, we're zipping through my list here. I hope you're keeping up. Best attraction. Now, this was a tough one for me, because usually it comes to me right away when I'm telling somebody about a place, the best attraction, something they've got to go see and do while they're there. But for Key West, there's just so many things, and it really kind of depends on what you are into, what you care about personally, doesn't it? So I'm just going to share some of the many options and just to let you know that there are so many great things out there. My personal favorite is probably the Hemingway House Museum. This is where Ernest Hemingway lived when he was in Key West. He has a writer's studio there. It's uber cool, and I want it. But it also, you know, they share a lot about his life and his writing and just a lot of interesting things, and you get to see how he lived and what inspired him. And also you get to see his famous six-toed cats that are all over the property that are very well taken care of. And so that's something. The Ripley's Auditorium is a very unique attraction. That's probably a close second for me. Probably third on my list, I think, would be the Key West Butterfly and Nature Conservancy. Dozens of species of absolutely beautiful, incredible butterflies, and a whole nature conservancy with it. And also, that's just a really great thing. A tip for that, you want to do that early in the day. It's pretty humid in here, you know, you can imagine. It's it's just because of the habitat. So you don't want to do that after in the late afternoon when you're all hot and sweaty and it's the hottest outside and all that. So do that early in the day if you do that. And last thing I'll mention, because I'm running out of time here, would be the Key West Shipwreck Museum. And shipwrecking, salvaging was a big thing back in the day in Key West. Industry made off of it, you know, lots of people made rich off of this, and you really get to step back in time and experience this when they call you in, and it's kind of like a little combo show slash museum, and it just really gives you a good idea about all that. And it's a lot of fun for all ages. I think kids especially would probably enjoy this. But anyway, I actually enjoy it because I love shipwrecks and piracy and salvaging and all that stuff. So, of course, I was into it. But, okay, anyway, number six. I thought it was time now to back up and talk about when is the best time to go. Because this is the thing you need to pay close attention to for Key West. November to April. Now, this will shock people, but the absolute best time to go is November to April. This is when it's going to be the driest and sunniest and the mildest weather. May to October is the wet season. It rains most days, but only briefly. But bear in mind, number one, hurricane season is June 1st to November 1st. And for the Keys, the peak time for hurricanes is September and October. And the last big hurricane they saw was 2017. So believe me, they do get hurricanes. So also number two on that list, it is summer in Florida, in the far end of Florida, in the Florida Keys. So I'll just let you imagine how hot and humid it's going to be if you choose to go between May and October. So that's another reason. Okay, but special events may mandate your visit date because Key West has many special annual events. There's a lot of big ones. I can't mention them all. Again, you could go to keywest.com and see some information, but just a few to mention to share with you. There are Hemingway Days, of course, where we celebrate. There's a big writing community, lots of famous writers that live in Key West. So this is a tribute to authors as well as specifically Ernest Hemingway. Also, the New Year's Eve shoe drop, which, yes, that's an interesting event, as so many are in Key West. And the biggest event they have, and this makes Mardi Gras pale in comparison, is their Fantasy Fest. So, you know, there's lots of great things. So if you have a certain event you want to go to, that will mandate the time of year you go to, of course. But otherwise, November to April is your best bet. Number seven, for those looking to get wild and crazy, Key West is definitely the place to go. So if you want to let it all hang out, the Garden of Eden is the best bet. Literally, it is the best bet since it is a clothing optional bar. Yes, the truly adventurous can also not only shed their clothes, but enjoy body painting or even one of the signature shots that they specialize in the Garden of Eden, if you dare. So if you'd like to cut loose with your clothes still on, the Green Parrot Bar, La Tida, 801 Bourbon Bar, and the iconic Sloppy Joe's are very good bets. But there is some really, really wild and crazy nightlife in Key West, as you can imagine. On Duval Street and beyond, there are a lot of cabaret kind of places, a lot of rowdy nightclub scenes and all that. So there's something for everybody. There's also much calmer places. So there's a bit of, you just have to do a little research to figure out what suits your particular personality, what you're looking for. But they have it in Key West, I can assure you. Whatever it is, they have it there. Okay, number eight. This is a must, the Sunset Celebration. If you haven't heard of this, this is kind of like defining thing for Key West. It takes place every night at the Mallory Square Dock, and there's just it's just kind of a wild and crazy thing where there's just all kinds tons of people, lots of tourists and locals, and there's all kinds of vendors, and they have booths where they sell high-quality handicrafts. But the big thing is the performers. Just about anything that you can think of, there's a performer doing it down here in the Sunset Celebration. I'm talking tightrope walkers, jugglers, escape artists, balloon artists, animal acts, bagpipe players, sword swallowers, unicyclers, knife throwers, psychic readers, clowns, magicians. Well, I guess you get the idea. You know, it's just, you know, it's just wild and fun and, you know. So anyway, that's number eight on my list. Number nine, a lot of people think like Key West, like Vegas, isn't really a good place for kids. And that's actually not true. You just have to change gears. When you have kids, you have to go, you know, to different places than you might go for adults only. And so some of the things that they have for kids, I thought that would be fun to share with you so that you know. There's a two-hour eco tour aboard a catamaran, a very nice, comfortable catamaran. And during your excursion, you will probably see dolphins and stingrays and sea turtles, shorebirds, and even sharks. That area has hammerhead, nurse, and bull sharks. So that's a really great thing for the family to do. Also, there's an animal farm on nearby Stock Island, and you can get close up to some exotic creatures, like a 100-pound African tortoise, a South American sloth, Patagonian caddies, llamas, and more. Now, they do have limited hours, so you would want to make sure to plan accordingly. But if you don't want to leave Key West or it doesn't work out with your schedule, there is the Key West Wildlife Center, which is a 7-acre wildlife refuge featuring local wildlife. So that's right there in the heart of Key West, so that's another option. Higgs Beach is a good place for families. And the Astro City Park, which has a giant playground and a really nice green area and all, is right across the street. So that's a good thing. And last thing I wanted to mention was the Florida Keys Eco Discover Center. And that offers exhibits, kids' workshops, crafts and puzzles, and more. Oh, wait, I lied. I do want to mention something else. There is the Mel Fisher Maritime Museum, and it has some of his treasures and exhibits in it and all that that he's excavated from shipwrecks. And, of course, I mentioned the Shipwreck Museum. There's also the Lighthouse and Keeper's House Museum. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can do with kids in Key West is my point there, so don't let that discourage you. So last on my list I want to mention here is the Dry Tortugas National Park. It's actually a ferry ride away from Key West. But once on the island, you can go swimming, you can go snorkeling. Actually, it has some of the best snorkeling in the whole area is right here at what they call Little Africa at the Dry Tortugas. Scuba diving, sunbathing, bird watching, or you can explore the 10-acre Fort Jefferson. In fact, some of the best bird watching is also available here. They have up to 200 species of birds that can be found here. So if you're into that, this is a paradise, a must-have for you. So that's all the time that we have to talk about this today. I hope this has given you a good start to planning your trip to Key West. I have written a book about Key West, so if you get a chance, you can check it out from your library or borrow it off of Kindle Unlimited. It's called Terrence Talks Travel, The Quirky Tourist Guide to Key West. Like I said, we're going to wrap it up now, but if you need any more information about this show or any of my other travel podcasts, you can find them on TerrenceTalksTravel.com. You'll also find dozens of free travel reports you can download from my store, Terrence Talks Travel Emporium, as well as all kinds of cheap travel tips and adventure travel resources. And subscribers get two bonus things, my 232-page adventure travel book and a 50-page cheap travel tips, like my favorite best cheap travel tips of all time. So anyway, I will be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. So please.